everyone, and welcome to episode 68 of season 11 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 award-winning HBO miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again for an inaugural episode of a different part of this series is Jay Cluett of Deep Lucy Pod. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Thanks for having me back. Sorry I didn't shave for this. My water is frozen. So I just had to. You got me as I am this morning.
When you're out in the field, I think you still should find a way to shave, even if you need to.
See, I was rudely awakened. I was in my tent. I was asleep. I do love how everyone else is kind of a bit stubbly throughout this episode. Winters is still trying to shave.
Nobody's in a tent. They're all in foxholes.
Sure. Well, I bought a tent. I came prepared.
Exactly.
These fools not bringing tents to go camping in the woods in winter. Very honestly.
And what's amazing is here we are starting part six, and you know we're in episode 68, which is exactly the halfway point of this series.
Yeah.
Both.
Oh, and that's interesting because this was the point. My wife's watching it for the first time. And this is the point where she's like, "I've had enough." So she doesn't want to watch any more Band of Brothers.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way: part six is pretty bloody, so maybe there's a reason. But then again, she does like watching ER, so I don't know. ER can get a little bloody off.
Any kind of medical drama that's her jam is medical drama.
Is she a fan of The Pit?
The Pit has yet to be released in England. It's coming. Well, by the time this comes out, it will have been released. But we are very much looking forward to seeing The Pit.
Okay, so like my wife loves watching Grey's Anatomy,
but she
the entire season at once though. You know, she waits till the end of the season and watches the whole thing. And so she was looking for something to watch, and she watched The Pit, and she couldn't stop it. You know, she kept, you know, she said to me, I'll watch one episode. And now I've seen the first season already. I saw it last year when it came out, and I'm holding off watching the second season to watch it with her. But you know, she just watched an episode, and she's like, "I'm just going to watch one episode." And then I come home and she's like, "Yeah, I watched 5 episodes today."
Well, that's what I've heard, is it's quite a propulsive show. But has your wife watched Private Practice? I think it's the spin-off for Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, that was from years ago. With some... Yeah, I didn't like
it. Yeah, oh yeah,
I didn't
sure.
like that one that much.
It's bad. But it's my wife just likes having content on in the background while she's working. It's like medical drama. That just seems to be something that's easy to follow.
Fair enough.
I can't stand a lot of it. I like DR. ER's good.
Yeah, I like DR. Grey's Anatomy, after I think 3 seasons, I had enough of it. It just is too simple.
I think I watched one season when it first came out. I'm like, that's good. There's, you know, Malarkey's not in this. Malarkey's in ER. I need some kind of crossover. Right.
No, it got a little too soap opera-y, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. It's exactly what it is.
And like for ER, I didn't feel that was soap opera. Even though every so often they would, you know, add in stuff about the people's personal lives, stuff like that.
We don't care about this. We don't care who your sister is. Get back to the hospital.
All right, so episode 68 begins with the title card of part 6, Bastogne. And ends with Winters trying to get an update. So, you know, everyone heard yesterday the interview with the writer of this episode, of this part, Bruce McKenna. So you know a lot about what's going on here. I love the way that this episode or this part has been portrayed, especially because of all the whiteness of the snow and stuff like that. You know, it's supposed to be something that's very calm, but it's not.
Well, you said yesterday, in last season, last episode, chapter, I don't know how you're referring to these, that each of these episodes has been shot, each of these episodes is being shot differently, and you can tell here, because like, this is quite a muted show, it's quite sepia all the way through, but this is very much almost black and white. This is a whiter shade of pale. It's the Procol Harum episode, there's far less sepia. It's just white and some grays and some blacks. But this is very, very visually distinct. This is this is only my second time going through the mini series, but this was an episode that I remembered. I remembered there was a horrific snowy
Yes.
episode.
Well, I mean,
Coming
episode
up.
seven, part seven is also pretty horrific
Sure, yeah.
from that perspective. But when you,
Yes.
I mean, one of the things that Bruce talked about yesterday that I love is the reason he chose to focus on Doc Rowe is because it was a character that can move between the characters in a place like this, which makes a lot of sense.
Yes. How prominent has Doc Rowe been in
He
other
has
episodes
not
we've
been
had so
prominent at
far?
all, but again,
I know he's been in
he's been
them.
in a few of them, as Bruce mentioned, when he was putting this together. So, he would get in touch with, for instance, the writer of episode three and say, okay, you need a medic, use Doc Rowe as your medic.
Yes, I've heard you talk about that
Right.
with your other guests. And whenever you've brought it up, I'm like, well, who was Doc Rowe? I don't remember this guy being in these episodes. And then we have this whole episode dedicated to him. I was like, that's Doc Rowe. Okay.
Exactly. And that's the way it works. After the title card goes down, we have a shot of snow and feet walking through the snow. Once again, we're starting an episode
Yeah, get used to that.
without seeing the person's face. The
Sure.
last part,
Yeah.
we didn't see the face of Winters along the way.
Yeah. How often do you look at a man's
Exactly.
shoes in this series?
Correct.
Often.
And it's really interesting because we see that he looks down onto the ground and starts he sees something on the ground and starts playing with it in his hand. Now it constant every time I've seen this, I have to watch it like six times this particular part because I keep thinking that he's picking up like part of a finger, but he's actually just picking it's just blood.
Yes. I think when he puts his hand down into the snow, he pricks his finger on something in the snow. So it's got like some holly or a thistle or something in there. Can you see the hand go in and then it kind of makes this flinch backwards? That's when he
I never thought about that.
like
Ah, you're
stabs
right.
himself.
You're right.
And then he comes up and with a freshly bleeding
Oh, I
finger.
see.
But yeah, it looks like he kind of squeezes it, and the way he's like, it looks like he's holding a finger he's just found that's still bleeding, but then yeah, that is very much his
Oh, wow.
finger.
Yeah, exactly. It's they do a nice job of fooling us with that, making it seem as if it's something that it's not. And
Don't think the fooling is intentional. I think it's just I don't think they're trying to trick us. I
No,
think
it
we
could
just
be.
misread it.
Could be. And I love that they have this calm winter background, and Doc is just looking around at the peacefulness of this snowy area. And then the shot changes and they have a great crane shot of the whole area where Doc is just rushing through the woods with his hands in his pocket, making us know that he is freezing his butt off here. And I'm always amazed whenever I watch this, the fact that this entire set is an indoor set. They filmed all of this indoors.
Wow, that's
Yes.
amazing. I
Yes. Yeah,
had no idea.
there's a lot of CGI also,
It's so
but
deep.
still.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And yeah.
It's even
And
still.
then Doc Rowe comes to a standstill because he sees a dead body on the ground. And it looks to me like a German. The body is completely frozen. And then the camera pans and we see a whole bunch of other bodies just lying on the ground, including a motorcycle with a sidecar. And we see about seven or eight dead bodies just lying in the ground, which again, I mean, this whole part, we're going to see a lot of dead bodies that are basically just I guess rotting in the snow or frozen stiff in the snow, so they're not rotting. I don't know how you want to look at
Yes, yeah. They will rot eventually,
yeah.
but yeah.
And it's an interesting way to start off an episode by having a character come across a whole bunch of dead bodies. But again, they're preparing us for what's going to happen over the next 12 episodes that we're going to talk about this.
Yeah. But yes, there'll be more
Yes.
dead bodies to come.
And he's a little shaken and staggers and starts going back in the direction that he came. And then the shot changes, and we see a block of ice. And someone is breaking that block of ice with a bayonet. And we see that it's Winters. And he has a shaving kit in his that he's holding in his mouth. And then he puts the brush inside of the ammo container that he has his ice in, and then dips it into to the shaving cream and starts putting it on his face. Now, I love the fact that they show us that Winters does this, because what it basically tells us is that Winters, even in this type of situation, is the ever consummate officer, soldier. He's following the rules. You're supposed to stay clean shaven, so I'm going to stay clean shaven. Now, we see through the course of both this part and the next part that most of the men just have grown beards, which makes it a little more difficult to tell them apart because they're up until now they've been clean shaven, and now they all have these scraggly beards because they don't want to shave like this. And again, this scene reminds me of the Dirty Dozen. Where why are they called the Dirty Dozen? Because they refused to shave in cold water. So therefore they were no longer given shaving equipment, and they all grew these scraggly beards and didn't get shower privileges. So they stunk. And that's why they were known as the Dirty Dozen. So Winters wouldn't be classified
Fair
as
enough.
one of the Dirty
No,
Dozen.
he's the clean one.
That's right. And
It's some great cold acting from Winters here as well, Damian Lewis. I maybe the water he is shaving with is cold, because maybe he insisted on that. I don't know,
Know how much of an
but just the way that he, like, the
actor Richard
shivering, the
Damian Lewis is. Don't
Damian Lewis, yeah. Well, the sounds he's making, the kind of the speed, the movement he's doing, it. He's believably very, very cold and
Right.
shaving with very, very cold water.
It's very possible, especially since we're going to see that he's not going to be very successful in finishing the shave. That's also an
Yes. Yeah, but he's like, we'll see next later in a segment, but. He's like the polar opposite. Like, Dick's been up for hours shaving, and Nick's just kind of isn't up.
Exactly.
He is awoken by a meeting he's supposed to
Exactly.
be at, I
And
think.
we see in the distance someone coming towards Winters, and we see that it's Doc Rowe, and then Winters whispers to him, "Duck, duck, duck," and they hear someone speaking German,
Excuse.
and Winters stops mid-shave, grabs his gun, and Doc Rowe follows him, and they go off to see what they're hearing, and what do they find? They find a German that has decided that he needs to relieve himself.
He's been caught
Yes.
short.
Exactly.
Yeah,
And then
they caught him
completely.
with his trousers down.
And Winters starts calling out to him in German, and he basically tells him to come over here quickly. That's right. And then he goes,
Come and see
"Schnell,
here.
schnell, come quickly." And
Shell.
the
Yeah.
guy realizes right away. Now, I mean, not to be too crude, but this guy was at the point where he needed to relieve himself. And now that he's been captured, does that mean he just relieved himself in his pants? Or are they going to allow him to do so on his
I
own? Because there's only a
think,
certain amount of time he can hold it in, especially when.
well, two things that I think there's going to be two reactions he can have. One of them, he sees a gun being pointed at him and it makes him relieve himself quicker. Or the other one is the adrenaline will retract it
Okay.
back up inside him. Like,
Right.
temporarily, it will come out eventually. But I feel like that, he needs to be to resolve the situation, and then he can.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I assume once they have him captured, they will let him defecate somewhere other than in his
I should hope.
trousers.
Yeah,
I would hope.
I would hope so too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he does a kind of staggered walk when he is
Yeah.
caught. He does a
He
little kind of shuffle.
that's
That says to me,
That's very
maybe the
possible.
process has already begun.
And he only holds one hand up. That's right.
It's a bad day for
And
that
then we get to see that
guy.
Winters is checking the guy's identification, opens up his wallet, and pulls out a picture. And we see that it's a picture of assumably this soldier's parents. Now, which it's very telling the way that they do this. I mean, we've seen this in other movies and other miniseries and stuff like that that deal with this, that even the enemy are human. Right, they humanize them in a way
Humanize,
that okay, this person has parents, this person has a family, this one has a loved one, different, they're, and so it's interesting that they do it this way. But you also see that there's this green card that has English letters on it, which I you can't really read it, but it does have well, Latin letters, but German is also in Latin, but it doesn't seem to have any of the
I think it says cadet. I think it says KADETT.
No, it
I
is upside
think
down.
it's upside down.
It
It
could be.
could be cadet something.
It could be. It's obviously it's an identification card that maybe Blythe would be able to tell us what exactly it is when he's copying it. Not the Blythe in sorry. Now I need to differentiate which Blythe. The Blythe in The Great Escape. Not the Blythe
And
in
yeah, it's in a great
Band of
escape,
Brothers.
yeah.
I realize as they said that. And you can see how scared this guy is.
Yeah. It's understandable, yeah. Yeah, I can't find anything that's like a cadet green card. So I don't know.
I'm not really sure what not really sure what it is. But who knows? That's just the way it is. He's been captured, and I love how Winter still has the shaving cream on his face. He hasn't taken the moment to wipe it off at all.
Wait, he hasn't got a mirror that he's looking at, so maybe he doesn't realize it's on there. Maybe he did like a
That is
brief
possible
wipe,
too. That's
but he
definitely
missed a
possible.
bunch of Maybe he just doesn't care. There are more pressing issues at hand, namely the war that he's
And
in.
as he's frisking, he puts it back and continues frisking the guy and pulls out a bandage and throws that to Doc Rowe and goes, "Doc, bandage." And he turns to the guards around him and goes, "Take him back to regiment." So again, this without giving away too much of what's going to happen over the course of the next 12 episodes that we're going to talk about this, it's pretty telling the fact that Winters is aware of the fact that Doc Rowe needs a bandage, that he needs more supplies, which I mean, a spoiler alert for everyone who's listening, over the course of this entire episode, Doc is just scrounging for stuff. Trying to find medical supplies in order to keep them as safe as possible. And then a Jeep shows up, and out of the Jeep come four men. We have Colonel Sink comes out from the back next to the gunner. We have the driver, and then there's another guy walking around there. And Sink goes, "As you all know, General McAuliffe, acting division commander." And so I decided to actually look up who General McAuliffe was. This is the very first time that we get to see him. So he was born in 1898 and died in 1975. And he was famously known for commanding the 101st Airborne during the Defense of the Stone during the 1944 Battle of the Bulge. He what I wasn't able to figure out yet was why is he only the acting commander? Like what happened to the commander beforehand? The most famous thing that we're going to talk about later in probably in about 2 weeks is the whole nuts incident, because that became his nickname. He was known as General Anthony Clement Nuts McAuliffe. But I'm not going to give away that entire story yet, because we'll talk about it probably when the story itself comes up. Again, he commanded the artillery division of the 101st on Normandy, and also landed by glider during Operation Market Garden. And General Taylor, who was the commander of the 101st Airborne, was attending a conference in the U.S. at the time, so therefore McAuliffe was just the acting commander. So it was, see, my understanding of an acting commander was is that okay, the other commander is no longer in charge, and now they're finding, it's before someone has been confirmed as the new commander. But he was just a replacement commander while Taylor was away. That's more or less the story here as to why he was why he was only the acting commander. And then McAuliffe struts over to Strayer and goes, "Give it to me
Okay.
straight." Strayer goes, "We've been talking about we've been taking ground in one position, General, losing it in another, and now it looks like a standoff. We're digging in on the edge of the forest." And Winters interrupts and goes, "We're under sporadic artillery fire, General. We're taking a lot of hits, and we have no aid station. We've run out of food, and we have no winter clothes. We have little or no ammo. The line spreads so thin, the enemy wanders into our CP to use our slit trenches, sir. We just can't cover the line." So again, he's basically just talking about the fact that they come in to take a dump. The troops are coming to, which is what just happened right now.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love is during this whole conversation, the camera keeps moving back to Doc Rowe, who is just basically a fly on the wall here, paying attention and listening to everything that's going on. And I like the way that they portray this. That here's a character who is theoretically not supposed to be here, but he's hearing all of these things going on, and they're letting us hear everything that he's hearing of the situation that they're going through. So I like that. And at this point, we see that Nixon comes out from under a tarp. I guess wakey wakey, but going back to what happened.
Yeah, I
I
love
mean,
Nixon,
one of the
yes.
great things about it is that if you think back to the first part of the or the first episode of the last part, Nixon was also sleeping. But here he's not as clean shaven as he was there, and this time there's no pitcher of piss to pour on him, or maybe there is. You just can't see it.
No, but just that. Ron Livingston does a great job. Just the performance he gives of like seeing Sink is there and like the process thing, like, oh, this is a bad look for me. But he's not get. But Sink's not giving him any. He's not like criticizing him or doing anything like get up next. You should be up. None of that because he understands. They're
That's right.
in the woods. They're in the snow. This is awful. This isn't a big
Exactly
concern
right.
right now that this guy is still asleep,
Exactly.
because there's not an attack. Yeah, it's fine.
That's
It's
right.
fine.
And then
He's
Sink
yeah.
says, "Good morning, Captain Nixon.
You pick your
You got
battles.
anything to add for General McAuliffe?" And Nixon is a little groggy and goes, "General, yes, sir." He goes, "General, I took a walk on the line about 0300 last night. Couldn't find the 501st on our right flank. I tied in with a squad from our second platoon. But, sir, we've got some considerable gaps in our perimeter." And Strayer then continues and says, "I don't have enough people, sir. We're spread too damn thin." McAuliffe says, "Hold the line, Colonel. Close the gaps. This goddamn fog won't lift anytime soon, so you can forget about air cover. Your first battalion just pulled out a Foy. Crops on their tail. Thanks. Artillery, got no backup. There's a lot of shit in this way, heading this way. And, you know, Winters then grunts a little bit. He's not too happy about it. And, you know, then at this point, McAuliffe gets back and just gets back in the Jeep and drives off. You know, like a typical general, you know, making a comment like this and just leaving. And, you know,
Yeah.
he gets in the back.
But hey, you haven't got enough men. Close the gaps. Bye. It just is
Yeah.
such a
And I
it's
also
quite
find it really
frustrating.
funny that because Sink is driving around with the general, so Sink gets to sit in the back, you know, as opposed to being the guy in the front seat.
Maybe he prefers that. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe. Anything is possible. And then Winters walks off to the side. They basically all disperse. And Doc Rowe follows Winters into his foxhole, and what does Winters do? He's going back to finishing with Shay.
Sure. Yeah. Finish the job.
That's right. And then Winters looks at him and goes, "Doc?" And he goes, "Can I scrounge a bandage from your aid kit, sir?" And then he asks him, "Well, how you fixed?" And that is how this particular segment ends.
I do feel like by this point, Doc should have been around everybody. Like, what have you got? I'll leave you all with a little bit. Like, I'll leave you with something, but I need the rest. Maybe. So, like, Winters shouldn't have a bandage left in his med kit. Doc Rowe should have them by now.
No, but maybe the first time around he was leaving, you know, leaving everyone with one.
Yeah. And now he needs them.
And now he
Sure.
needs to move forward with more of that. I don't know. It's possible. Again, there's no way of us really knowing. And as I mentioned, you know, over the course of the next 12 episodes, that's what he's going to be doing. He's scrounging. He's asking everybody, you know, give me this, give me that, especially bandages.
Yes.
Even when the bandages that he gets are bed sheets and things like that, and some other things, but you know, Doc is quite resourceful with everything that he needs to be at this point.
Bit.
You know, and
Yeah.
I like the way that you know I like the way that they start off this part by telling us the situation. You know, they could have just put a scroll on the screen and say, you know, the Easy Company and the 101st are you know, on the border. They're spread really thin, and now they need
Well,
to try to figure out. But no, but obviously it doesn't pay to do it that way. It's much more effective this way. But
yeah, show don't tell. Yeah.
you know, but here they took up 5 minutes explaining this to us, which is great. You know, and giving it through the perspective of Doc Rowe, who is in this part, our eyes and ears of everything that's going on. You know,
Absolutely.
he's the
Yeah.
one to show us, okay, this is what's going on. This is what needs to be done. So, you know, I like that. And again, as I mentioned before, I love the fact that this is a Doc Rowe centric episode because it truly does manage to let us the different aspects of what's going on in this action itself. So I'm you know, not that I need to approve of what to approve what Bruce said to me yesterday, but I do agree that it was the best way to do it. And that's why this is usually considered to be one of the best episodes of the series, even though again I can't choose between them. I wouldn't be able to tell you that I like one better than the other because
It's one long episode for you.
yes, pretty much, you know, so yes. So
Think
Jake,
for me that the first episode is still my favorite. It's
yeah,
the
I love
yeah.
the first episode for sure. That's but you know, I've been discussing for the last 67 episodes.
Sure. But hey, I got four more to go, so who knows?
That's
We'll
true.
reassess.
That is true. No, you have five more to go.
No, I have four more to go. This is episode six. Four
That's
more
right.
episodes of Band of Brothers to watch,
Ah,
is what I meant.
okay.
I know
Because you'll also be on the finale, so
I'll
you
yeah, I'll be on the
have five
wrap up
more
then. Sure.
episodes that you will be on with me. Yes.
Five more episodes of this
Every,
podcast, four more episodes of that mini series.
that's correct. That's correct. Right. I wasn't putting you in Movie Rob jail yet.
Okay. A
It's
real
getting full.
place.
It's getting fuller as things move along. I'm running out of space, but maybe I'll let some of those people out.
You can just put an extension on it, add a wing.
True. I need the finances for it, but maybe I can get Colonel Sink to allocate some funds towards it. Who knows?
Sure.
All right. So now we will play the Daily J game of of name that World War II movie of World War II movie trivia. We will see
Okay.
what J gets here. Who knows? Again, maybe it's something that you've seen. Maybe it's not. Who knows?
Probably isn't.
Probably not. Let's spin the wheel and see what we get. Around and around and around the wheel goes. Okay, Clint Eastwood, Telly Savalas, and Don Rickles star in this 1970 film about a group of American soldiers who go rogue to steal Nazi gold in France. What is the name of this movie?
Kelly's Heroes.
Yes.
I have seen this one.
And did you like it?
Isn't there a fourth guy? I remembered liking it. I liked Thomas Sutherland a great
Of
deal.
course, there's more than three guys.
You know, those kinds
You
of.
have Donald
No, but
Sutherland.
wasn't there like mainly four? I think wasn't there like a four? It wasn't like a core four.
No, there's like 20 of them, first of all. But the other main one that I didn't mention here was Donald Sutherland.
I thought you mentioned Thomas Sutherland. No, you didn't use it. Okay. I added him in my head.
Yes. No, I said Kelly Kapowski, Don Rickles, Clint Eastwood. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Very.
Yeah. Donald Sutherland in well, he was made for that role, but any kind of when he's playing an oddball-esque
That
character
is correct.
is the best.
Okay,
Yeah.
let's spin the wheel for your next question. And what are we going to get? Okay, who directed the 1977 film A Bridge Too Far?
I'm not sure. Was that Attenborough? Did he do that one?
Yes, it is.
Hey,
Big
Richard, of course.
X himself.
Yes, Big X.
If I remember correctly, he made that movie in order to get funding to do Gandhi, which is something that he was like his lifelong dream to make that movie.
Think you'll find his lifelong dream was to bring dinosaurs back. But there we are.
But he
He
didn't
made
direct it.
Gandhi as well.
He didn't direct it.
But he brought them back. He brought the dinosaurs back.
Yes, that
He's the one who did
that is true.
it.
That is true. With frog DNA.
Yep. The fleas. Look at the fleas. You can see the fleas.
Right. Okay,
I can see the
so
fleas. Can you see the fleas?
let's spin the wheel and see what we get. And around and around and around the wheel goes. Okay, in
Life.
the 2002 movie Wind Talkers, who plays the character of Ben Yazzie?
Haven't seen that film.
You? I'm shocked.
Is that, I'm not even sure which film that is. Is that Nicolas Cage? Was that a
That
Nicolas
is a
Cage
Nicolas
film?
Cage film, but he does not play Ben Yazzie. He plays Joe Enders. He's the guy who has to
Okay.
protect Ben Yazzie.
Okay, I don't know. Who else is in that film? It was a guess that Nicolas Cage was in it, and he's the star, I'm
Okay,
assuming.
so the answer is
So,
Adam
I don't
Beach.
know. Adam Beach. Okay. What did I watch Adam Beach in recently?
Flags of Their Father? Oh.
What? No. Why would I
I
watch
don't know. I
Flags
don't
of
know.
Others?
That's a good question.
I watched a film. I think it's something for the podcast. I know it was. Into the Grizzly Maze, Thomas Jane Grizzly Bear film which Adam Beach is in briefly. Not a recommendation.
Okay. Understandable.
Good cast. Wasted good cast. Like Billy Bob Thornton's in there, James Marsden, Piper Perabo.
So let's spin the wheel. And around and around and around the wheel goes.
Add the sound effect.
There it is, but it's on a different computer. It's on a different computer, so you can't hear the sound. We're gonna have to put the sound in.
Think there's really a
Alex, how
wheel.
to, if you come here, I will show you. I don't know how to. I don't know how to prove. I don't know how to prove it. Can I? Do I need to, like
Sure.
hold up the computer to the screen so you can see that there
It's
really
all
is a wheel?
rose.
Maybe. In the 2006 movie Letters from Iwo Jima, who plays the main character of General Kuribayashi?
I have seen this. Is it Ken
Yes, it
Watanabe?
is.
No.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
Okay.
not. Yes.
Okay. It was a coin flip in my head. If it was between him and Hiroyuki Sanada. Yeah. Okay. I'll take it.
Yes. All right. And now we will spin the wheel one last time. Let's see if I hold it up, if you can actually see. Do you see the wheel?
Okay. Listeners, there is actually a
You see
wheel.
it?
I saw the
Did you see it? You saw the
wheel.
wheel. Okay.
This whole time, I thought it was just a list. He was just picking at
No,
random. There is a
there
wheel.
is a wheel.
Colored. There's different colors on
Yes. Okay, good. You see, I've proved to you that I'm not lying. Right.
so I hope I don't end up bankrupt.
Correct. Let's spin the wheel and see what we get. I'm really insulted that you don't believe me.
Because that was just for you. I'm the first other person to see that.
Well, no one else has to see it, but I can still have it.
Sure. It's good to do things to amuse yourself.
Correct. Well, again, I want it to be really as random as possible. So, okay, what 1953 film is set in Hawaii before the attack on Pearl Harbor?
Is this an Elvis film? No, okay.
No. And it's a movie that won Best Picture.
1953. I'm not good on my Best Picture winners before 75. 53. Before Pearl Harbor. So it's not Hell on the Pacific. That didn't win Best Picture, nor was it. That's after Pearl Harbor. I don't know. Can I have a clue for this one? I feel like I can get this with clues.
Frank Sinatra won an Oscar for his role in Best Supporting Actor in this movie.
There's a chance I've seen this.
I would assume, but I could be wrong.
I didn't know that. I didn't know he had an Oscar. That was a surprise to me that Sinatra had an Oscar. So I don't know what this is.
Okay, it's also starring Burt Lancaster.
Oh, is this the one with the kiss?
Donna
The one with the
Reed.
kiss on the beach? From Here to
Yes.
Eternity?
Yes. The one with the
There we go. I had
Here to
no idea what
Eternity.
that film
Never
was
good.
about. I haven't seen it.
Well,
Hey, there's a people with a kiss on the beach. I don't know what the rest of it's about, but
first of all, now you do know. Now you do know what it's about because I just told you
sure.
what it's about.
But if you were to ask me when we record the next episode, would I remember then? Who knows?
That is a separate
Yeah, I
problem.
know.
That is definitely a separate problem.
Yep.
But just because you don't have a very good memory is not my fault.
Didn't blame you. I
Is it?
don't remember blaming you. Did I blame you? I can't remember.
You can't even remember that part. I get it. Okay. All right. So now we will play the daily game for everybody of name that World War II movie. And once again, there really is a wheel, Jay. I will spin the wheel,
I believe
and
you. I
we're going
believe
to
you.
see what we get.
Now.
Well, now you do. I'm glad that you finally believe me. And around and around and around the wheel goes, and Okay, this is a movie from 1981 about one of your favorite subjects, submarines.
That's all I get. 1901 submarine film.
You want more? I can give you more.
Sure, I think I need more.
I don't think I will.
I was being
It is.
facetious. I don't like submarine films.
It was directed by Wolfgang Petersen.
Oh, Das Boot.
There you go. See,
I
I didn't really need much
I thought that was
context.
later than 81. Okay, that has always felt like a 90s film to me.
No. His 90s movies was Air Force One.
He had more than one, but sure.
I know. I know. But we only talk about the ones that really count.
Yes, sure. He, yeah.
He also did he did In the Line of Fire, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
With Eastwood.
It's clean, so I watched that last year, first time.
The Never Ending Story, Enemy Mine, Outbreak. Okay, yeah, he's had some. He
Outbreak.
did The Perfect Storm.
Perfect. Yeah, Perfect Storm, and then Poseidon is like his. That's the his aquatic trilogy is Das
Yeah,
Boot,
that was,
Perfect Storm,
and then he
Poseidon.
took off. Then he took 10 years off before he came out with one more movie and then stopped.
Yeah, so, 'cause Poseidon's very bad.
And unfortunately, he passed away, so he's will not be making any more.
Yep.
Yes, Poseidon is not good at all. I can agree with
Yes,
that.
we have covered it on the Deep Blue Sea podcast.
Yeah.
And yeah. And it's a Kurt Russell film, so for Mark to dislike a Kurt Russell film takes a lot.
Yeah, that is true also. I do agree with that sentiment. All right. So Jay, would you like once again to tell everyone where they can find Jay Clewitt?
Sure. Yeah, Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, is my podcast where we cover all things Deep Blue Sea and shark movie related. And my personal site is lifeversusfilm.com. This episode is coming out in April. April the 1st. Happy April Fool's Day to everybody, which means I can tell you that definitely my review of 2025 is definitely up by now. That's not a joke.
Well, you never
It'll definitely have
know.
been posted. See, now if I don't do it, it's fine because it's an April Fool's. But if I do it, then I'm telling the truth. It's
There you go.
all good.
We'll only note
And
that.
there'll be an episode of Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, coming out today, talking about, like we do every week, we talk about the Deep Blue Sea with Rachel Weisz and Tom Hiddleston. That's going to be our April 1st episode this year.
Everybody counts.
If we've been waiting for April 1st to be on a Wednesday, so we could cover that film.
There you go.
That's what we're going to
Excellent. All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram, find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So Jay, thank you once again for joining me for another inaugural episode of one of the 10 parts of this series, and I look forward to seeing you again in just 3 weeks when we get to
I'll see you then.
talk about the beginning of part 7. So
I will have seen it by then, yes.
I should hope so. Until then, hurry.
Hey.